When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Here comes Bosco's Boys, here comes Bosco's Boys, right down Bosco's Boys Lane. Santa Claus, Scott, and all the boneheads on Willie's crazy train. Chauncey's chewing on the mistletoe, oh, what a beautiful noise. Grab a brew and talk KSU, cause here comes Bosco's Boys.
Here comes Bosco's Boys, here comes Bosco's Boys,
here comes
Boom, the boys are back, and it is time for a special signing day edition of Bosco's Boys as we inch closer to the Pop-Tarts Bowl and the big day on the 25th, Christmas. But before we get there, there's a lot of presents who are signing their name on the dotted line. Actually, they all did it in record time. I think this is the earliest signing day has ever been completed for K-State since I've been following it. And I thought to myself, okay, I could get on someone who covers recruiting for their job, or I could try to talk about it myself. But I was like, no, the boneheads deserve something better. So I reached out and I said, who is the most attractive, smartest man at K-State football? And Connor Riley didn't want to talk to me. So I said, I'm going to go find Chuck Lilly, the director of scouting, officially a recurring guest now here at Bosco's Boys. We're going to talk through signing day. We're going to touch on everyone who signed. We're going to talk about class composition, anything you guys could want. The director of scouting himself is here to talk with you guys. Chuck, welcome back. It's been a whirlwind morning. When you and I first started talking about this, you're like, yeah, it should be done by 10. Well, everything except for, you know, the Las Vegas boy himself was done like before 8 a.m. It seemed like it was a fast and furious morning. Did you wake up like a kid on Christmas today?
I did. Yeah, no, it's first off, good to be back, Scott. Appreciate you having me on here again. But yeah, no, we were up. I think everyone was up around 5 o'clock this morning to get into the building between 5:30 and 5:45. You know, we had our first couple of signings at 6 o'clock, and those guys were up and ready to go. And like you talked about, we were done pretty early, and we had one last one to finish up in Vegas on West Coast time, but smooth sailing this morning. It was great.
Also, a lot of love, and this is also, you know, a Super Bowl for creatives and graphics folks, the all aboard theme with the trains. I love the videos, love the graphics. I saw the pictures of you guys slapping up the tickets up on the wall. You know, how much of a fan were you of that? And are you, do you get into that as much as the fans, or are you just, hey, all business as usual, and all that?
No, it's a lot of fun for us to kind of sit around and brainstorm. You know, I think Taylor Bratt was probably the first one that mentioned it. I know that there was the old hype video, you know, with Crazy Train in the background. So that was kind of where the idea, you know, originated probably around this time last year as we were starting to think forward. But shout out to our creative team and everybody that was involved putting this thing together. You know, aesthetically, it was awesome. The videos were great. The graphics were great. I think everything came together really well and fit the theme.
Yeah, and then I also saw the packages that went to the signees. You know, they open it up, get glitter bombed. They have the stickers and all that type of stuff. You guys do everything first rate. Before we talk more about signing day, you mentioned the old hype videos. Have you gone back on YouTube and seen some of those, you know, glorious early days of CGI, late 90s, early 2000s Crazy Train videos?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny because I went back and rewatched it this morning. And, you know, the first time that we talked about that old train video, like you mentioned with the, you know, really early stages of CGI being used there, it kind of was really similar to the video that we put out in terms of that train going through the tunnel and having the highlights playing on the side of the carts. So really, really cool way to modernize something that I think the fans can connect with, and a little bit nostalgic, and also kind of taking it into the future with this new signing class.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. Let's talk about the signing class. The first thing I want to ask, because especially in the last handful of years when the NCAA has gotten rid of like the 25 counter rule, we'll see today, you know, some programs signing 30, 33 kids. You know, again, it used to be, hey, you're signing 25, you know, on the old NCAA football games, you're signing 25 guys, whether you want 25 guys or not. That's just how it used to go. Only 15, I believe it's 13 high school, two JUCO guys. At what point when you guys are planning out your scholarship distribution, when you guys are planning out your recruiting class, did you realize, okay, hey, this is going to be a smaller class, so it's going to allow us to really hunt the top of the board the entire way?
I think we knew probably as early as last signing day, because last signing day was such a large class in terms of high school and junior college guys that we signed. So we knew that this class was going to be smaller. And then as you start looking at, you know, guys who are most likely heading towards, you know, going to the NFL, you know, a la Cooper Beebe after this season, you know, you look at guys that, they're on their last year of college football, and you know that, you know, those are guys that we're going to have to replace. We knew that we were going to have a smaller class. We knew that some positions were, you know, bigger needs than others. And so we started constructing what we thought the numbers were going to look like for this class, started recruiting towards that. And I think everything came together really nicely, even though, you know, the number is smaller in 15 guys, that I think the quality of players that we signed is really, really high up there. I know people have a large affinity for the class we signed a year ago on 23, you know, with some of the names that we had in that class. But, you know, this class is very special in its own right. And we're really excited about the future of this program with these guys coming into the fold.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You mentioned that, and I'm going a little bit of out of order than I thought I would, but you mentioned the affinity for last year's class, which great class, not taking anything away from it. But I think where folks may kind of get seduced by the overall class ranking and all that type of stuff, when you drill down and look at the rating, and I know you guys don't, but this is for us dumb fans who aren't, you know, breaking down film and all that type of stuff. When you look at the average rating or the average score for these recruiting classes, I mean, they're both neck and neck, and both of these classes are two of the highest rated average recruit in the history of K-State football. How pumped are you guys to kind of see that, you know, lack of a better term, elevation when it comes to the quality of guys you're bringing in? And then do you guys kind of sit back and laugh when you see some fans melting down, arguing with other schools on Twitter about recruiting rankings, when you're like, okay, you just need to take a look and see how good these guys really are?
Yeah. You know, I think that's what it boils down to. You know, it's fun to watch all the banter take place back and forth on social media, but you know, really at the end of the day, I think we know internally who we're getting and what we're getting. You know, I'll be honest with you, I don't think any of us really pay attention or care to what, you know, rankings are saying, what this website or that website is saying. And I know that, you know, we have a couple of guys you know, that cover this program that do a really good job. They work really hard and they care. And at the end of the day, I think we have to, you know what it is, you know, that K-State identifies with, you know, the type of player that's going to have success here. And those are the guys that we go after. And, you know, the guys that fit that mold that have the, you know, most talent are the guys that we're going to try to sign. And it makes for really good competitive signing classes each and every year. And whether that's reflected in rankings or not, you know, that's up to those industry members. Like I said, we could kind of care less about what their rankings of our classes are, because I think we have a really good idea of what those guys are going to do.
something that I've ever since, you know, Chris Klein and this staff has come in and you've been here as well, that I've been pleased with, and something that I was like, all right, these guys know what they're doing, are the camp offers. And then some of the senior tape guys that K-State comes in a little late on, you know, if you look at offers, maybe the big Power Five offers aren't there, but then come signing day, when Rivals, when On3, when 247 looks at those senior tape, all of a sudden they have meteoric rises through their state rankings and through the, you know, the star process and all that. How much does that say for you? Again, you're scouting, you're one of the guys looking at it. You can pop your own collar here a bit if you want, but how much does it say about the folks inside that building and your guys' eye for talent and being able to see these guys compete, not only as underclassmen, but, you know, in the summer before their senior year, and in that senior year that you guys can find those prospects that then have that late boom when folks finally get eyes on them?
Yeah, you know, first off, it's a team effort. I mean, it's everybody involved in terms of the identification process, the evaluation process. But, you know, I think we can really hang our hat on what you talked about, which is, you know, evaluating guys, you know, in a camp setting, evaluating guys in their junior and in their senior year, and not being too early to rush into things. You know, there are players each and every year that are, you know, highly rated prospects because they were maybe a little bit bigger and a little bit faster at an early age. So they started getting offers, and, you know, along with those offers, their stock started to rise in terms of their not social media, but their industry rankings. And again, I think if those guys are still good players, when we feel comfortable and ready to pursue them, then, you know, that's great. And, but a lot of times I think there are players that, you know, whether they let it get to their head or they're just, you know, a little bit ahead of the curve, and then they're not quite as, you know, good, not quite as well-rounded as some people think they will be at an early age. I think that's where we can hang our hat and know exactly what it is that we're getting when we have the full picture as a junior, when we have the full picture as a rising senior in a camp setting, or a senior based off 3, 4, 5 games of film. So everybody in here does a really good job evaluating all that, taking everything into account, both on and off the field. And we're really proud of the process that we have in place, feel really comfortable and really confident in how we go about it. And again, we know that we're getting the right guys here, at the end of the day, when pen comes to paper and it's signing day.
Final thing before we touch on the guys who put pen to paper, we see it all throughout college football this time of year, where a coach may leave and you see exodus of class, folks who flip, who decommit, all that type of stuff. You know, I think we're all going to miss Colin Klein, but what does it say about the entire coaching staff, everyone that is inside that building, that no one wavered? There was no drama. The only drama was manufactured by us fans ourselves. And every single guy, including a Colorado quarterback we're going to talk about, hey, he was signing, you know, I think at 6:55 local time for him. He couldn't wait to be a Wildcat. So what does it say about the entire program and everyone inside that building that, hey, unlike other schools, one coach leaving isn't going to change our recruiting class?
Yeah, 100%. You know, first off, you know, I think all of us are going to miss Colin, both fans, everybody here internally, you know, not because of the coach that he was. Obviously, he was a great coach. He was a great coordinator. He was a great player in his time, but the person that he was, you know, Colin's an exceptional person, salt of the earth human being, and we're going to miss him dearly. But this program is more than just one person. And I think every single person inside this building knows that. And every recruit that we signed today understands that as well. And the relationships that they forge with everybody along the way during their process, when you lose a Colin Klein, they don't bat an eye. And while that's, you know, a difficult loss to overcome in some capacities from the relationship and the recruiting perspective, I don't think we ever had any hiccups and no one ever wavered. So, you know, all the best to Coach Klein and his tenure at A&M, but, you know, we're really excited about the guys that are coming in here. And I think they're excited about Kansas State. They're coming here because they want to play for Kansas State, not because of any one individual.
And that's what I love to hear. I think in modern college football, for us as fans, it's for some schools, I think it's lost that romanticism of, hey, kids are coming for your school, that school that you went to, that school you've cheered for your entire life. And, you know, it warms my purple heart, you know, at this time of the year to hear that said. And I'm excited for these kids for part of that reason. I want to talk about the guys that we'll go through there. I want to start with Gus Hawkins. Again, a Kansas kid, and you know, I'll save, you know, the big Kansas talks for the next time Taylor comes on. I don't want him to get mad at either one of us, but rated as the number one Kansas prospect by On3, rated as a four-star by 247. He's just a mountain of a man. Again, it takes offensive linemen a while to get in, but what do you guys see from him? Again, I think he measured in at 6'7", 280 as a senior. Again, this is a man amongst boys already, and I can't wait to see what, you know, Coach Riley, Coach True can do with a guy who's coming in with all that already.
Yeah, so Gus was a guy that, you know, he grew up in Scott City, so he was out west, and then he moved over to Mill Valley, and obviously they have a great tradition, great program at Mill Valley, and you know, Gus was a guy that we had our eyes on, obviously, very intriguing with his size. And we know his athleticism pops off the tape, for the position that he plays. You know, you typically don't see guys, at that position, let alone as big as Gus is, that can move and that can bend the way that Gus can. So we were really excited about him. You know, we felt that Gus needed to add a little bit of weight, and he was so eager to earn that Kansas State offer that I think he put on 15 pounds in a handful of weeks, you know, when we told him kind of where we were at and the things that we wanted to see him do. So he came back, he earned that offer, and we worked with him at camp a couple of times, and his athleticism pops off the tape, you know, in a game setting. His athleticism stood out at camp, and he's raw, and he's got some things fundamentally that I think Coach Riley is going to need to work with him on. But we couldn't be more excited about Gus, you know, state champion, you know, in-state kid, that's going to do things the right way. And he couldn't be more bought in. And those are the guys that we're going to have success with, are the guys that are just dying to get to Kansas State.
I'd imagine the 15 pounds he puts on in a couple of weeks are different than the 15 pounds I put on every couple of weeks. So
no doubt. Yeah, different than the 15 pounds you and I put on at Christmas time right around now. Right.
Definitely. The next one I'm going to talk about again, you know, Taylor Bratt special coming from Butler Community College, one of the recent junior college commitments that K-State grabbed. And I think one that K-State fans are super impressed with, rated as a four-star ESPN, also rated as the number two national JUCO defensive lineman, the number five ranked JUCO player altogether by ESPN, inside the top 20 for 247 and Rivals. That's Malcolm Alcorn Crowder. I haven't watched the press conference yet, but saw some stuff on Twitter about Coach Kleiman talking about needing to change the composition a little bit of the defensive line. 6'6", 295. He's played college football down the road at Butler before. What sort of flexibility is he going to give, you know, both Buddy Wyatt and Coach Tuohy on the defensive line, being able to play maybe that big defensive line spot, maybe inside, maybe outside, and just being a dynamic athlete at that size as well?
Yeah, I think as we, you know, as we've kind of evolved in the defense that we run right now, we talk about the different body types that we would like to have for each position. And, you know, Malcolm's kind of a unique guy in the sense that, you know, his size and his mix of size and athleticism, he can really project either spot. You know, I think situationally we see him being able to fit into either category. And he's a guy that, when you watch his film, you know, he can do stuff from the interior. He can do stuff out on the edge, both, you know, defending the run and getting after the quarterback. And so when we were looking at trying to identify guys with a little bit different body type, you know, Malcolm was a guy that, you know, I think defensively they were dying to have their hands on. They didn't really care which, you know, which position he wanted to play. And he's a little bit ambiguous because of his size and his athleticism, you know, where he's going to play, but he's a guy that can play all over the line. You know, and if we ever had to, you know, switch schematically back to a four down defense, he could project probably at any position along that line as well. So really excited for him. really excited for the athleticism that he's going to bring. You know, that's more length in the room. And, you know, we couldn't be more excited to have him.
And again, you look at some of the offers he had, and I think, and you can tell me if I'm wrong here. I think it speaks a lot to the history K-State has, not only with JUCO programs, but junior college programs in the state of Kansas, that, hey, we'll be good shepherds of that talent. How much of that history that K-State has with the junior college programs, not only in the state, but nationally, did that help with his recruitment?
I think that helped a ton. I think he saw the history and success that guys in his shoes have had coming to Kansas State. And, Malcolm's a guy that, we were on in early September. We were trying to figure out, what our plan was going to be with him. We were trying to figure out, what the spots looked like with it being a smaller class. But he was a guy that we've recruited probably longer than people realize. And I think those relationships pay dividends down the stretch. When you have some big names kind of throwing their hat into the ring and trying to woo him and turn him and ultimately sign him at the end of the day, those relationships paid off. We have some players and staff members in house that were connected to him through Butler. And so having those relationships in the building helped a ton. Having the history and success of turning junior college players, into successful collegiate players at the Power Five level, I think went a long way. And again, just the relationships that we fostered with Malcolm and his family, throughout the entire season, I think that was what made the difference at the end of the day for us.
We spoke at the top of guys who had massive senior seasons. And one of those guys, Trey Davis down in Texas, again, early on, when I first heard his name kind of popped up, you look at the recruiting rankings and, some spots didn't have him ranked. And then in the On3 final rankings, he ascended into being a top 300 player, a top 45 player in the state of Texas. And then you turn his tape on and you're thinking, where was this guy hiding? Can you talk about the process of getting him in the fold and kind of his rise in his senior season?
Yeah, I think the first time that we saw Trey, we knew that we were looking at a really explosive athlete, and we were able to verify that, seeing him play in person this year. Coach Middleton went and saw him play in a basketball game recently and just raved about his athleticism on the court. Trey is a guy that anytime you put the ball in his hand, whether that's, as a returner, handing the ball off to him or throwing it to him deep, you get the ball in his hand, he's going to make something happen. He's going to find a way to get in the end zone. And so we were really excited about the explosive playmaker that he is. See some things athletically with him that he's going to be able to make a difference in that room and give us a little bit of a different element than what we've had in the past. And with him, we were monitoring him early on in his senior year. Had preliminary discussions with him, kind of told him where we were at and continued to recruit him. And, I know he initially had committed elsewhere. I believe it was to Washington State. But that was something that we were able to overcome because of the relationships, again, that we forged with him and his family early on. And when we were ready to go and felt comfortable knowing what we were getting, he knew enough about Kansas State to where it was a no-brainer for him to come up here, take that visit, and it wasn't too long after that we had him in the boat.
Yeah, and then another, four-star on three, top 300 national player, top 50 player in the state of Texas with Jock Spradley Demps. Again, Coach Middleton, he has a type, four-star wide receivers from down in Texas. How exciting is it, not just for Spradley Demps, but to have both of those guys committed? Coach Middleton's not even 12 months on the job and able to make that big of a splash. So, that recruiting win and both those together, what does that also say about Coach Middleton?
I think Coach Middleton is a relentless recruiter, first and foremost. I mean, he is always on the phone. He is always evaluating. He's a phenomenal relationship builder. And he's genuine. I think that's pretty transparent when you get to know him. It's pretty evident that when these recruits and their families talk with Coach Middleton, they understand who he is, what he's about, the type of coach that they're going to be having the opportunity to work with each and every day. And I think that's attractive to a lot of people. There's not a lot of BS when it comes to getting to know Coach Middleton. He's an upbeat, positive guy, brings a lot of energy. And, you know, specifically with Jacquees, I think that was something that he was looking for, was, a coach to connect with, you know, someone that was going to be a mentor to him and continue to refine his game with all the little details, little intricacies that go with playing the position. And, we couldn't be more excited about Jacquees and his skill set and what he's going to bring to that room. Him and Trey both, I think, are going to continue to elevate that room and what we're going to be able to do, not just, you know, this upcoming season in 2024, but for many years to come.
Before we touch on the next piece of the K-State beef, let's give a shout out to Charlie Hustle. Again, they had that awesome K-State beef NIL shirt. And honestly, it's the shirt I wore almost every single game this football season, even if it was under one of the Charlie Hustle crew necks. I'm not going to mention if I forgot to put it on for a certain game that featured snow. I don't want to take any blame for that game in Farmageddon, but it just so happens to be one of my lucky shirts. If you need a new lucky shirt, you're probably not going to get in time for Christmas, but you might be able to get it in time for the K-State bowl game. So check out charliehustle.com. Or if you're like me and you're in the Kansas City area, head down to the Country Club Plaza and get yourself some new K-State gear from Charlie Hustle. Chuck, I think you'd look good. They dropped during their 12 days of Hustleness a K-State just sweater. It looks like an old varsity sweater from like the 1890s with a big varsity K State underneath it, two white stripes on the sleeves. I bought one for myself. I think I look okay. I think you'd look like a GQ model. They might be putting you on the cover of the K-Stater magazine if you got that. So I might need to talk to them and get you a sweater or two sent to you.
Well, you got to let me get a few weeks downstairs with Coach True before you do that, because I don't think I'm looking good in anything Charlie Hustle right now. But give me a few weeks with Coach True. I know he can make a big difference. And, shout out Charlie Hustle. They do a phenomenal job.
Yeah, I probably need to be locked in a dungeon with Coach True for like 3 or 4 months and then kind of emerge a new human. If you want something for, you know, the Hearn Fund auction next year, they probably should say, you know, a 1 week residency, working out the K-State offensive line and see what Coach True could do to a random donor for a week. They'd probably be tapping out of that one pretty quick. But I want to talk
True,
about,
man, you'll be surprised how quickly you can change body by True.
Dude, I probably need to ask for a leave of absence and just work with Coach True for a month just to get things jump started. But my Peloton taunts me every time I go down to change my laundry. So, Body by True probably would kick my ass for a bit. But let's talk about another guy that Coach True is going to have fun with. Like I said, a homegrown K-State beef guy, Caden Massey from Linden, Kansas, 6'8", 270. Again, a four-star by 247, ranked as one of the number three player in the state of Kansas, 247 and ESPN, ranked as the number 29 offensive tackle by 247 in the nation. Again, you have two of these Kansas guys who, you know, they're listed as tackles, maybe flexibility to play inside and outside, but this is another one that I think K-State fans were pumped about. You have to win a big-time recruitment against some, you know, national folks probably look at that recruitment and they're like, how did he end up at K-State? How did he not end up here? How did he not end up there? But I think it says a lot about, you know, what it means to this program and this state to win guys like that. What can you tell us about Mr. Massey?
And, first off, Caden is an enormous, enormous human being. And I think when you look and think about, you know, NFL offensive linemen and, you know, probably what they look like coming out of high school, I mean, that's the frame that this kid has. Every bit of 6'8", you know, we measured him several times. He wanted to get measured every time. He showed up. He came to every game this year. And he specifically asked to get measured every time he came through. We're like, Caden, we're good. We don't need to measure you, dude. Like, we know how big you are. But no, he wanted to get measured every single time just to see if he'd grown, to see if he could say he's 6'9" now.
Which would be a very nice height, by the way.
Yes, it would be. Shout out. 6'9", great number. Caden is just an awesome kid. And you know, he has a really, really great love for this program and for this university. And again, you know, those are the guys that we're going to win with at the end of the day, or the guys that, you know, have a genuine desire to be here. And, you know, throughout his recruitment, we had some, I don't want to say uphill battles, but, you know, we had big time competitors for his services, and just couldn't be more excited that this was where he wanted to play. I think he didn't have any doubts about that. He wanted to go through the process. He wanted to make sure that he was giving everybody a fair look. And at the end of the day, he wanted to be a Wildcat. So couldn't be more excited to have him in the fold. He's again, enormous human being, and he's really athletic out in space. I think Coach Riley and Coach Drew are going to have a ton of fun coaching him. And he's going to be a guy that is, I don't know if I'll end up on the left side or the right side, but he's going to be anchoring down one of those sides in the coming years. So really excited about him.
We'll touch on the final two Kansas kids real quick before we hit rest of the class. John Price is a guy who did shut it down pretty quick. And I think he's someone who fans maybe kind of forget about because he was such an early commitment, rated as the number two player in the state by ESPN and Rivals. You know, again, a 5'11 running back with K-State's kind of history, you know, 5'11 seems big. You turn on the tape, he had a big year, at Blue Valley. What is he going to bring to Coach Anderson's room when he gets on campus?
JB, man, is an explosive kid. He's a powerful runner. He's not a guy that's coming out of high school at 200 pounds, but when you watch the film, I mean, he's lowering his shoulder. He's running through arm tackles. He's the hammer. He's not the nail. He's a powerful runner. He's an explosive athlete. We didn't get the opportunity to work with JB in camp, but we have some ability to test and verify game speed. And this kid can go. He can absolutely go. And you talk about getting a guy out in space and having the ability to make one man miss and then having the speed to take it the distance. This kid can be a home run hitter. And he's athletic. He can catch the ball. He can run in between the tackles. So we see JB as being a guy that can do it all. I don't think there's anything that he lacks in terms of size or ability. And another homegrown Kansas kid that, had opportunities to go and play at other programs, and he wanted to be here. And he's a guy that I think fans are going to get to know in a short period of time because of what he's going to be able to do on the field.
Final Kansas kid from my hometown, Topeka, not the right high school, but you know what? Maybe there's a couple walk-ons from Washburn Rule you guys can close on, and we'll just leave it at that. That's what I hope as a Washburn Rule guy. But Callan Barta from Topeka Seaman, we got to repay a little favor to our friends up north and flip him from his original commitment. What was that process like? And I'm always kind of curious, especially for an in-state guy who may make an early commitment elsewhere. Do you just kind of stay in his ear and just say, hey, are you sure you don't want to, come down? Hey, are you sure you don't want to maybe talk a little bit more? Can you walk us through the process that was Callan's recruitment?
Yeah. So with Callan, a few things that we touched on earlier are kind of going to come into describing Callan's process. So first off, our camp setting, our camp evaluation. Callan came to camp. He worked with us at camp. We knew that we were really excited about the type of athlete that he was. And he came and he tested. And man, I mean, he blew us away with some of the stuff that he did athletically at camp. And then talking about this being a smaller signing class, safety was one of the positions that we kind of didn't know what we were going to do. So it wasn't that we didn't like Callan. It's just that we weren't entirely positive that we weren't 100% sure that we were taking safety, at the time that he came and he camped with us. And, I think that led obviously to him choosing to commit to Nebraska. And then we stayed on him. We recruited him. He's got some deep, deep ties to Kansas State, and another guy that really, this is the theme of this class, especially with these in-state kids, is a guy that really, really wanted to be here And, you know, when we knew that it was time to go, you know, we had discussions with them, you know, talked about what that process would be like. And it happened really fast, came together really quick. But Callen's a dude that, you know, is incredibly athletic, great linear speed, great change of direction. You know, I think he's got a ton of range in the back end as a safety prospect. You watch what he did, what he does offensively down at Seaman. And another guy that is just, you know, really athletic with great ball skills. He's a little bit different safety prospect than we've signed in the last couple of classes. And that was intentional. You know, some of the guys that we've signed in the last couple of years have been, you know, really short tacklers, you know, maybe more of a strong safety prototype body, whereas Callen's kind of your prototypical free. And so really excited about, you know, the diversity that he's going to bring, you know, to that room, the skill set that he's going to provide. And again, just another Kansas kid, man, that is dying to be here. Can't wait to be here. And, Callen is just going to be a difference maker for us, in the couple of years to come.
The next guy, and it's the one maybe I'm most excited for. State champion, broke all of Christian McCaffrey. Yes, that Christian McCaffrey's records at Colorado when it comes to being the touchdown king of the Rocky Mountain State, rated as the number 6 dual threat quarterback in the nation at Rivals, the number 1 player in the state of Kansas, or not Kansas, Colorado, excuse me. Heck, no, I'm going to get the governor on the phone. Let's just annex the entire state. You know, let's get the Rocky Mountains in our state. But no, the number 1 player in the state of Colorado for both Rivals and On Three, that is Blake Barnett. Again, this is a guy, from my perspective, when he committed, I was over the moon. And someone, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, if he wanted to fish for higher rankings, if he wanted to fish for offers after he committed, he could have gone through the Elite 11. He could have done a lot of this stuff that you see quarterbacks do, but he shut it down once he gave the commitment. And we saw he did not waver when the you know, quarterback coaching change happened. What can you say about Blake? And then, you know, I don't want to put too much expectations on someone before they even arrive at K-State, but I think he's just going to be the next lineage of elite athlete and elite quarterback at that position. And I know myself and a lot of fans are anxious and looking forward to seeing him get to campus.
Yeah. You know, first off, Blake is just a phenomenal athlete, 10-6, 100-meter guy. And that he's doing that. He did that at 214, 215 pounds. So you talk about a guy that, you know, can really get out in the open field and run. Blake's got the ability to do that. Think he's got a tremendous arm. You watch some of the throws that he makes. I mean, he's throwing that ball up to the moon and it's, you know, falling right into the breadbasket of the receivers that he's throwing to. So tremendous arm talent, tremendous athlete, you know, and runner of the football. And the biggest thing, biggest compliment that I can give to Blake is, man, kid is a hell of a competitor, hell of a competitor. You know, if anyone listening to this is unfamiliar, man, Blake played a lot of snaps at safety for Erie this year on that state championship run. And he was a hell of a safety. You know, he's finding ways to intercept the ball and make really athletic returns. You know, he's laying the wood, he's laying the hammer, you know, making some big open field hits. So Blake is a winner. He's going to do everything that it takes to win. And he cares, you know, he's hyper competitive. I think that's what you want in all of your players, but especially a quarterback. So kid's a leader, kid's a winner. And those were some of the intrinsic values that, you know, we identified with Blake early on. That made him really attractive. You know, as a quarterback specifically, I think he's got all the tools. You know, he's going to come, he's going to learn how to identify some things pre-snap at the college level, because obviously it's going to move a little bit faster at this level than it did in high school. But he's got all the tools. Couldn't be more excited about him. He's going to fit right in. He's a guy that, you know, is got a connection to the program through John Pastore. Those guys were teammates in high school, which definitely helps. But Blake's dying to get here, and he can't wait to be. He's going to be, you know, here at mid-year. He's going to be here at semester. So he's dying to get involved, and he's chomping at the bit to get in the weight room to, you know, start learning the playbook. And he's going to be involved pretty early on.
Yeah, and if anyone hasn't seen the highlights from his state championship game, he looked like, you know, Byron Leftwich back in college doing it, you know, second half on one leg. You talk about that competitor. So I'm pumped. And like you said, safety, again, I'm an amateur, but when I watch some of his tape, it's like, man, he could have been a power five guy playing defense as well. So that's the exciting part about him as a quarterback. So again, not done in the state of Colorado. So ESPN, so you know, these guys might have to argue a little bit. ESPN has Jake Stonebreaker as the number one player in the state of Colorado. Number two at 247. And again, he has a 4-star rating with ESPN. First off, how great is Stonebreaker for a guy who's going to be laying the wood on defense? And then again, you know, different spots have him, you know, slotted at different positions. Some have him at safety, some have him as an athlete. Where do you guys have him slotted on, you know, position wise? And then again, Stonebreaker is the perfect last name for that kid, isn't it?
It's a perfect last name. Obviously, it's a great football name. You know, we use the mantra pound the stone here at Kansas State. So, you know, breaking the stone, I guess, maybe have to be the new mantra. But no, Jake is a, you know, another hyper competitive kid that everybody we talk to, guys at the school, you know, people that he works out with outside of the school, they talk about this kid's work ethic. They talk about how much of a leader he is. And so we knew we were always really excited about Jake. You know, didn't know what he was going to be early on, knew that we saw him as a defensive athlete. And then kind of as he, you know, matured and went through his junior year, you know, we knew that we, you know, saw him as a linebacker, specifically, you know, Jake's going to be an outside linebacker for us, probably in that Des Purnell role. You turn on his film, you know, he's able to provide some pass rush off the edge. He's able to, you know, drop into space. He's able to cover guys man to man. So he's very versatile at that position. Very, very athletic. And, you know, he's ultra physical. He loves to hit people. And I mean, if you watched it, to me, the most exciting thing I think about Jake when I watch his highlight is not necessarily the plays that he makes, you know, during the play, it's after the play is over and you see how fired up he is. I mean, you talk about being able to identify just off of tape, you know, how much a kid loves the game. And Jake is a guy that there's no doubt in anybody's mind how much he loves to play the game of football. And for us, you know, those guys, we know that they're not going to have issues when we get them in the weight room. We know that they're not going to have any issues when it comes to watching tape and doing the little bit extra that is going to amount to, you know, winning more games when you do that collectively as a team. So the type of attitude and work ethic that Jake has, I can't say enough about it. And he's going to be a really athletic, really violent, physical linebacker for us. Fired up to have him too.
All right, before we talk about the final two offensive linemen, let's talk about Condor the Magnificent. That is the beer over at Manhattan Brewing Company, brewed in collaboration with Connor Riley, the offensive line coach. And he will be calling the plays here in a couple weeks, or not a couple weeks, in a week. 7 days from the time folks are listening down at the Pop-Tart Bowl, you can get that at Manhattan Brewing Company. If anyone deserves an ice-cold beer on today, it is you, Chuck, and the entire staff. So maybe you guys need to, you know, mosey on down there and see what they have on tap, whether it's Condor the Magnificent, Wabash Ale, Tang Party, if you like something a little sour, Towny Wheat, 785, all sorts of great beer at Manhattan Brewing Company, brewed for the people of Manhattan, by the people of Manhattan. I got to let you know, we did a show, so the three owners, myself, and then the guy who runs the 1012 network, the podcast network I'm part of, we did a Pop-Tarts and beer pairing episode on YouTube. So if you go and watch it, don't bully me. Don't say anything mean about me. But the Condor the Magnificent paired with the brown sugar Pop-Tart, not a great pairing. Both of them by themselves, very elite. Not the best pairing. But if you were going to have to do some sort of beer and Pop-Tart combination, what sort of beer would you want and what sort of Pop-Tart would you want?
That's a really good question. You know, I don't think I've ever paired beer with Pop-Tarts, but
it's a first for us as well.
Yeah, you know, I know the Condor is it's a strong beer. I think it should be illegal for a beer to taste that good and be that strong. But if I'm pairing the Condor, I'll stick with the Condor. Right, delicious beer, very strong. I think if you have enough of those, you could probably eat any Pop-Tart and they're going to taste good. But if I'm pairing a beer with the Condor, I'm probably going to go with the strawberry. Probably going to go with the strawberry.
I think that's a good call. So we did Tang Party because, you know, Coach Jerome Tang's favorite Pop-Tart was the plain strawberry. Not a great Pop-Tart,
not the,
but you
not
know,
the ice strawberry, just the plain.
No,
strawberry?
He said it was just the plain strawberry, and it tastes like a saltine cracker with strawberry jam. Which the pairing was fine because Tang Party's a little sour, but I think the Condor with the frosted strawberry would have been perfect. So I'm going to bring you along the next time we do one of these pairings, you know, and I'm going to say, hey, let's see what, you know, Mr. Lilly has to say about that. But let's talk about some more beef. Ryan Howard, familiar last name, happens to be the bigger, younger brother of, you know, K-State record holder at quarterback. So he's going to be coming from Downingtown, Pennsylvania. I think I've heard enough interviews that I've heard Will talk about, you know, his original recruitment trip to K-State. And it was his brother who originally said, hey, man, this is where you need to go. So Ryan Howard then is able to make that happen 4 years later. Another one where I think some fans, I think all of us, you know, kind of small brain fans are like, oh, well, you know, his brother's going to, you know, do his final year elsewhere. Is he still going to come? No hesitation from him. I'm excited. You talk about a big guy. You look at the picture that went out. I think he was the first one to sign. How excited is Connor Riley and Coach True to get their hands on the younger Howard brother?
Yeah, no, Ryan was the first guy to sign this morning. Obviously, great family, the Howards. Super excited to have Ryan in the fold. And you talk about another just, you know, mammoth of a human being. You know, Ryan's every bit a 6'6". I think he's probably, you know, in the 320s, and that's coming out of high school. You know, so he really doesn't have a long ways to go in terms of his physical development. But Ryan's a guy that, coming from a really good program, obviously, you know, we know what, you know, where Will was kind of mentally with the game when he got on campus. So feel very comfortable about where Ryan's going to be. Ryan's another kid that loves the game of football. He loves to compete. He's got a just awesome personality. Every time you're around him, man, I mean, it feels like you've known the kid for a while. And obviously, you know, we have known Ryan for a while, but couldn't be more comfortable with him and with his family. I think, you know, they would echo that same sentiment, just that they know exactly what they're going to get in terms of, you know, being at Kansas State. So there was, I don't think, ever any doubt in terms of knowing that this is the place that they wanted to be and that this is where Ryan wanted to be. And he had, you know, he had other opportunities, you know, both early on and I think, you know, later, obviously, in the game. But you know, this was always where Ryan wanted to be. And even though he's not a Kansas kid, you know, he's kind of a you know, he's a K-State kid, right? Because of Will and because of that relationship. And so Ryan's a guy that is really going to, I think, you know, embody the culture early on because he's kind of been indoctrinated into that, maybe even more so than some of these Kansas guys that have, you know, grown up fans and then kind of turned into K-State recruits, you know, later on in their high school careers. Ryan is really been exposed to it from an early age, and he knows every little detail about what this program is all about. So Ryan's going to get here. Another guy that's going to get here at semester. Really excited about his potential and his size and his versatility along the offensive line. And, you know, just he's going to be a guy that's going to be tough to move, man. He's a big kid and he's probably only going to get bigger. And so you talk about a guy that is, you know, adding more size and more strength. You know, he's a powerful kid. You know, he's hard to move backwards and it's really hard to stop him if he's moving forward and trying to move you out of the way. So powerful kid that's going to come in here and going to be another guy that's making a difference along the offensive line.
Another guy, and it's the final offensive lineman, and I think that I said this on the podcast when he committed originally, and it says a lot about A, the level that K-State has started recruiting at, and B, kind of the expectation for the offensive line room, and that's Kyle Rakers Is it Rakers, correct? I'm horrible.
Rockers.
Okay. Well, John Rock. I mean, hey, talk about a madman. That's what you want for offensive line. You know, probably no relation to that crazy Atlanta Braves pitcher. But you look at his offer list. It used to be a handful of teams that, you know, 10 years ago, you think to yourself, oh, you know, K-State has no shot. Just kind of the boogeyman of boogeymen with some of the recruiting, you know, nightmares from a decade ago. But he's coming in, and the fanfare, it used to be, all right, parades would have been thrown, and now it's just like, oh man, you know, some folks even forget about him. And I think he might be the most under the radar guy in this class. What can you tell us about Kyle, and what is he going to bring, you know, coming down from Iowa? We're going to have to, you know, get him over corn and make him a wheat guy, of course. But what can you tell us about Kyle's
man, just one of the happier kids you'll probably ever encounter, always smiling. Don't think he's ever had a bad day in his life. You know, he's a culture fit to a T. He's exactly what we were looking for. And you know, again, going back to this being a smaller class, we knew that with the KT Levisons, with the Cooper Beebes, the Hayden Gillums, the Christian Duffies, we knew that this would be a bigger class in terms of offensive line. So while you have guys like Gus and Caden that you feel are very safe projections to be true outside tackle bodies, you know, you needed a true interior guy as well. And that's what Kyle is. Kyle's very versatile. He's extremely sharp. You know, I think he's got a really good understanding of both the fundamentals and the big picture with offensive line play at an early age, really good development at the high school that he's at. And Kyle is, I think, so excited. And again, another guy that just truly wanted to be at Kansas State, formed a really good relationship with Coach Riley early on. And he was one of the leaders, you know, recruiting a bunch of these guys the whole way, you know, trying to convince them that, hey, you know, you want to be at Kansas State. Kansas State is where you want to be. So probably one of the best recruiters that we have in the class. But in terms of his play and the player that he is, again, really, really smart player, very instinctive. Think he's got a very high football IQ, and his base level of understanding of both schemes and big picture is very advanced for a player his age. So I think he's going to come in and you know, not have as big of a mental hurdle. That's typically the biggest thing that guys have to overcome is you know, the mental growth from high school to college. Kyle's not going to have as far to go in terms of that. He's a really athletic, really powerful interior offensive lineman that we're really excited about. And Kyle's going to, you know, probably be a contributor along that interior offensive line relatively early in his career.
The next one, I believe, recently named a Max Preps High School National Champion, Devon Rice, coming from Bishop Gorman in Las Vegas. When I was talking with Drew Galley of On3, I think I made a joke saying that, you know, Bishop Gorman 7-on-7 might be able to take some, you know, Division I 7-on-7 teams. What can you tell us about him? He was, I believe, the final high school guy. And again, I think his level of athleticism and his skill set pairs very well with a two running back class with Price. So how does he fit in with the offense? And how excited were you guys to get someone from arguably the greatest high school football program right now in the nation?
Yeah, I don't think it's arguable. You know, they're obviously they're state champions, they're high school national champions. So great program out there at Bishop Gorman, but Devon is just a superb athlete, you know, a do-it-all guy that probably not as you know, powerful in between the tackles like JB is, but man, you get him out in space, you get him on the perimeter, he's going to give defenders a lot of issues. He's got really good wiggle. His ability to catch the ball and make things happen after the catch is exceptional for, you know, a young player like himself as a running back. And just his speed and his speed to take it the distance is apparent every time he touches the ball. So explosive athlete, explosive playmaker, a guy that, you know, again, is just going to be a weapon for us offensively. When we get that kid the ball in space, He's just another tool that Coach Anderson's got in his room and that this offense has to work with. And, you know, you pair him with, you know, JB in that running back class and some of the guys that we have out on the perimeter with Jacquees and Trey, you know, we have offensive weapons that are probably a little bit different than people are accustomed to seeing in recent memory.
The next one I wanted to talk about, getting up into Minnesota, and it's another guy that you guys were able to stay on and flip from original commit in Zashawn Rich, I believe, multi-sport athlete. Again, someone who maybe could have, you know, been playing college ball, you know, playing basketball, running track, another big time athlete listed as a corner. I imagine that'd probably be where you guys want to keep him. I won't put words in your mouth, but what can you say about him? And again, is this just another example of a big time scouting win for you guys to maybe see someone who has that athletic ability and put it really on tape in his senior year?
Yeah, Zashawn is a guy that comes from the high school that he comes from. You know, I know Coach Klein and a bunch of the guys that came from NDSU, you know, they have relationships there. And that was a school that they made some hay with at NDSU. So he was a guy that, you know, we knew about as a junior, liked his tape, wanted to know a little bit more about him, recruited him down to camp. We got him to camp. He did, he tested off the charts athletically. And he measured in at, I believe it was 6'1", 184. So he's got the size, you know, he's got the athleticism. We told him that we wanted to kind of make it through the camp circuit, see where we were at, and, you know, probably still continue to see a first, you know, two games, three games of his senior film, because the last thing that we want to do is issue out a non-committable offer. So we told him where we were at. He was totally good with it. And then, you know, everything lined up in terms of seeing him in person, evaluating him here at camp, you know, watching his senior film. And we knew that was our guy. And, you know, we recruited him the whole way. We forged relationships, even though he didn't have that offer at the time. You know, again, that was the case with Callen. That was the case with, you know, even Devon, you know, getting on him early in his senior year. But told Zashawn that, you know, here's where we're at. You know, we really like you. You've done everything that we've asked you to do. Now just be patient with us. And he did exactly that. And when it was time for us to go and bring him down here, I think he loved every part about the visit. We answered any questions that him and his family had, and he was ready to be a Cat. So it was awesome. It all came together.
Final high school guy, and then we have one more junior college pickup. Boone Morris, who, if folks don't realize, this guy, I've never seen the tackle numbers that this guy has. If you turn on his huddle, if you turn on any highlights that he posts on Twitter or X, this guy literally is sideline to sideline. He is goal line to goal line. I've never seen a high school kid track so much ground at the linebacker spot. Is this guy going to, you know, have like 3,000 tackles before his career is done? I mean, have you ever seen anyone rack up the tackles like that?
Yeah, he might be setting some records, but no, Boone's a guy that kind of an interesting story with Boone. So Boone was initially playing defensive end when we first got on him. And so we invited him up to a game in the 2022 season. He came up and he was a little bit smaller than, what we were thinking and hoping that he might be. So we kind of told Boone, like, hey, what we're doing with the defensive end spot, you're not a defensive end. You know, we think you're productive. We think you're really athletic. We're going to need to see you do some things at linebacker. And so we were just very upfront and honest with where we were with him. I think him and his family appreciated that. They loved the visit. And, you know, he went back and he continued to play defensive end his junior year, pretty much up until the last two games, I think. And then he started playing linebacker. I think there were probably some other programs telling him and his coach the same thing that we were telling him. So had a really good feel for what we thought Boone, was going to be as a linebacker. Wanted the opportunity to work with him in camp, didn't get that opportunity, but then, you know, continued to stay on him, continued to recruit him and get to know him and allow him and his family to get to know us. And then when that senior film came along, and he was playing linebacker full time, it was everything that we were hoping it would be and more. And he was ultra productive as a defensive end, racking up a ton of sacks in his sophomore and junior year. And then as a senior, just showing his athleticism at the linebacker position. Typically, from a scouting and evaluation portion, it kind of works the other way around, right? You have a guy that maybe isn't quite athletic enough to play linebacker, and they wind up moving down and putting their hand in the ground as a defensive end. Boone was obviously, the inverse of that. And you very rarely ever see that work out, but he's got the athleticism and the tenacity and the football acumen, the IQ to see everything, read and react to it. Very smart football player, very instinctive player. And he's exactly what we were looking to get in a high school linebacker in this class. He's going to play on the inside for us. And we think he's a guy that, both from his size and his production and his athleticism, is going to be a major contributor for us in the future.
And then the final guy who's part of the official signing day stuff today, Dante Strap Thomas, again, amazing nickname, coming from Southwest Mississippi Community College. He has his profile out there as a corner, but he looks like a safety to me. He looks like a guy who probably should have been playing, back in the 90s, back when rules might have been a little bit different. He scares me, and I haven't played football since 2010. He is one of the most violent football players I've seen for a sport that is very violent. So what can you tell us about him? And then he was the final piece of the recruiting class. I believe he gave his verbal commitment yesterday, signed today. So what can you tell us about him?
Yeah, Dante's a guy that we got on late. He was a guy that kind of, surfaced for us late in the process. We reached out to him to kind of see where he was at. We were able to visit with him, during the December recruiting period, get to know him, get to know his family and have those preliminary discussions, and things materialized for us pretty quick. He came in on a visit, the last weekend that he was able to do so. We got around him, we talked some ball with him, watched some film. And like you said, he's a violent kid. He's not the biggest safety that you're going to come across, but he is violent. He's going to throw every ounce of his body in there. And, I think we felt very comfortable with where Dante was at from a physical standpoint and in terms of what we were looking for to try to finish off that, safety position. And we feel very comfortable and very confident in Dante's ability to come in here at semester, learn what we're doing schematically and find a way to contribute. And he's going to be a guy that, again, you're going to see some helmets popping off of dudes because of how he throws it in there. It's awesome to watch guys be, physical and really throw their body into another dude's chest and not just, dive and swipe their arms at ankles. So he's exactly what we want in terms of being a physical safety. And, we know that he's going to be able to tackle guys for us.
Definitely. Well, that's all signing day. I know we have three transfers in already. I won't ask for specifics about, more stuff you guys are going to be looking for, but with the three you guys have already brought in, if you look at, some of the competition it took to get them in, and if you look at some of the folks who try to rate folks in the transfer portal, seems like you have three pieces that are going to be ready to hit the ground running, in January and be up to speed, because before you know it, I guess what the first game will be August 31st, I think, this upcoming year. It's one of those years where the season will start in August. So it'll be here before you know it. And all three guys look to be, folks who can step in and play right away. What'd you see? And again, I think you said earlier, you can talk about by name. Easton Kilty, Jordan Riley Scott, and Travis Bates. What'd you see from those three guys when you started scouting the portal, and what are they going to bring to the team?
Yeah, so I guess we'll go in order in terms of when those guys committed. So, first off with Eason, we knew we were going to be in the market for kind of an older offensive lineman specifically a guy that could play tackle for us. Easton's a guy that had a lot of success at North Dakota, and obviously our staff has a really high appreciation for players that have made it happen at the FCS level. And Easton's a guy that is tremendously athletic. He's got great ability to bend. He's really been productive in his time at University of North Dakota. And, I don't think we were quite aware at the time of where, people evaluate media industries evaluating the portal, saw him and had him ranked, but we knew that he was the guy that we wanted. Materialized quick, and it's tough to plan out the timing of transfer visits. But he was a guy that really didn't want to go through the recruiting process again. And so he made some visits. He came in to us on the weekend. It was that first weekend that we were able to have transfers in, and we were a little afraid that, maybe not being the last touch might hurt us, but he was ready to get it over with. Saw that this was the place that he wanted to be, and came together pretty quickly for us and Easton. So it was great to have him. Again, a guy that's just been ultra productive at the FCS level for a long time. It's going to bring a lot of experience to wherever he slots into, and is a guy that we're gonna count on and gonna need him to be able to play this year. Second one is Travis Bates, defensive end coming from Austin Peay. Travis, we felt like was probably not probably, we felt like Travis was the best defensive end in the portal, both from an ability standpoint, what he does athletically, as well as what he was coming from in terms of a scheme fit and how they ran their defense at Austin Peay. There's some other guys out there that, playing in a four down, maybe ultra productive, maybe, athletically were, what we were looking for. But Travis is a guy that we were extremely, extremely high on. And again, another guy that we thought he was kind of flying under the radar. I guess he's like a top 10 or 12 defensive lineman in the portal.
Yeah. And made some freshman All-American lists as well. So, yeah, I mean, all the accolades you could want.
Phil Steele, some freshman All-American list team, but Travis was a guy that, had the size that we were looking for, extremely high motor. I mean, doesn't take a play off, gives you everything he has on every play. Pretty advanced level of hand usage for a younger guy, because you got it with Easton's got a year left, right? So Easton is an older guy, whereas Travis redshirted his first year, and then he played this year. So Travis is a guy that's got 3 years left. So Travis is almost like signing the high school guy in that sense, but very advanced hand usage for a younger player. High motor, really good ability to come off the edge and provide a pass rush, and just really strong at the point of attack defending the run. So in terms of what we're asking our defensive ends to do schematically, perfect fit in that sense, great athleticism. And again, the guy that's got 3 years left, so couldn't be more excited about, having a long time to work with Travis and how he can contribute for multiple years going forward. And then lastly, another one-year guy in Jordan coming from Ball State. All three of these guys, right, are coming from a lower level. And I think that's been a huge emphasis of ours, is trying to find guys that have been productive at a lower level that are looking to take that next step in the portal. Jordan's a guy that you watch his film from 2022 and what he was doing against Penn State, and then you watch film from, I believe it was the first game this year they're playing Georgia, and the things that he was able to do against Brock Bowers, both in terms of coverage and getting that guy to the ground. I mean, Brock's incredibly difficult. You watch it week in, week out in terms of giving opposing defenses nightmares, trying to cover him, trying to get him to the ground. And Jordan never hesitated, and he's a fearless competitor, really, really good open field tackler, has the ability to cover, and we felt like he was a guy that was going to be able to come in and make a difference for us in the back end as a safety. So all three of those guys we couldn't be more excited about. All three of those guys, you know, are going to contribute. All three of those guys are going to play this year. And I think, you know, we're not quite done in the portal yet, but, you know, the remaining spots that we do have, you know, are going to help to make sure that this 2024 team is as competitive as possible. And so, you know, you look at the signing class as a whole, you look at some of the things that we're doing in the transfer portal. You know, I got the, even though I don't pay attention to it, I got the, you know, ratings written down right here, 247. We were the 61st national class today. Rivals, same thing. On three, we're, you know, number 54 national. And we're, you know, a little bit down there in terms of where we rank in the Big 12. So the one challenge that I have to any fan that's listening to this, that's maybe questioning, hey, why aren't we higher in the rankings? You know, you talked about that average score for players. And just remember, it's, you know, the more players that you sign, the higher your rating is. So we had a smaller signing class, but man, just turn on the tape, watch the guys that we did sign. If you turn on the tape and you watch the guys that we signed and don't pay attention to the number that's next to our logo, you're going to be really excited. So everybody that we signed in this 2024 class today, the transfers that we do have in the boat, and, you know, the guys that are still coming, you know, all those guys are going to make this team, this program, this university better, both in 2024 and for years to come. So.
Well, I'm pumped. I'm even more pumped after our conversation than I was. I appreciate all the time you gave me when you said, you know, I can go an hour. Maybe you didn't think you'd be talking to me as long as you did, but I appreciate all the time you gave me, gave the Boneheads and what you're putting in at K-State. So be sure to tell Taylor we say hi, tie his shoelaces together, play a practical joke or something on him. And give our best to everyone who made this class happen, because I'm pumped about it. I'll give you a chance to say anything you'd like to the Boneheads, that's the fans of our show, and then any K-State fan who decides that they're going to listen to this episode, and then I'll let you get back on with your afternoon.
Yeah, no. First off, appreciate everybody listening. Appreciate everybody's support. It's a great time to be a Kansas State fan. If you haven't bought your tickets yet, show up down in Orlando. We have the best fan base when it comes to, you know, traveling to opposing or neutral site games. So show up in Orlando. If you can't find a way down there, then, you know, make sure you watch us on TV. I think you're going to be excited about what you see. You know, we're in the midst now that we're, you know, finally finished with signing day and some portal visits and things like that. You know, we're finally able to fully turn our attention to NC State. So December 28th, it's going to be an exciting game. Make sure to tune in or get there if you can. Appreciate your time, Scott, and thank you, and go Cats.
I love it. All right. Well, that's all we have for this episode. Tomorrow on Friday, you guys will hear my top 10 games of 2023 in the top five that I'm looking forward to in 2024. So for Chuck, for Chauncey, who's looking at me, I think he wants his lunch, the best dog in the world. You're a good boy. To all the K-State fans, we love you guys. Merry Christmas and go Cats.
Merry Christmas. Go Cats. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Check the frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir and folks dressed up. Lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh.
And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering the simple phrase, yeah, to kiss from
Network.